Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson, and I want to thank you for listening and remind you guys to subscribe and tell a friend. Thanks in advance for that. And I'm in the studio here in Las Vegas with C.K. Thompson, first of all. And also today have the honor of Mike Thompson joining us. So it's going to be a really good podcast today. So first of all, let's just go to C.K. Do you want to say hello and start it off?
Hi, Brian. And welcome, Mike, to the studio today.
Glad to be here with you.
Hey, this is going to be a good show. I feel it in my bones. Actually, I feel it in the spirit. We're going to talk about something that I absolutely... Okay, wait a minute. I should rephrase this. We're going to talk about something I hate, which is party politics. And on the other end of the spectrum, we're going to talk about something I absolutely love, and that's Third Heaven Authority. And we're going to ask you, Mike, to share with us some of your experiences, and the Lord has taken you up and talked to you in Third Heaven.
We would be very glad to do that. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I love talking about what God does.
Oh, absolutely. And I really pray, this is my hope and my goal today, is that hopefully this podcast will help restore people's confidence in God's ability, in the power of prayer, power of God to change our country, to do whatever he's going to do, that he is much bigger than we realize, and that he is not limited to politics in order to bring to pass his agenda on planet Earth. Seems to be an issue these days.
Yeah, this could be a touchy subject, but good one that really needs to be talked about. And I know that you have some articles that you've written, and so I know...
I do.
You should go ahead and go over some of that, perhaps.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll start with that. For those that don't know who I am, I'm a prophet and a seer, actually. The Lord has given me dreams, visions, actual visitations from Jesus himself, angels that show up. This has been going on for almost four decades. Actually, probably longer than that. I just didn't realize what was going on. We've been in the ministry, Mike and I, since 1977, officially, with my air quotes, and full-time in the ministry, and we did not realize that we were prophets. People didn't talk about prophets back then. So it was mostly we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. We didn't understand why we were different from people. So... a lot of the dreams and visions that I had, I just kept my mouth shut and just wrote it all down and just said, okay, Lord, if that's you, just, you know, bring it to pass, because I didn't know what to do with it.
Right. So I know you have some specific ones that you wanted to share. So, and what's the oldest one or starting there?
Well, okay. The oldest one I have right here is in 2007. It's definitely not the oldest.
Well, no. The oldest of the ones that you're going to share. I should clear that up.
All righty. Especially having to do with politics. Right. I was actually, the Lord knocked me out, put me to sleep on the couch, and I dreamed about Hillary Clinton. Now, that was during the primaries, right before 2008. She was running against Obama, our now President Obama.
Right. Candidate.
Right. They were both candidates trying to get the nomination in the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
And in this dream, the Lord started talking to me about Hillary Clinton, which it was amazing, and I'm not even going to share all of that here because I have shared, and I've got it written down all over the place, actually. But a lot of people that are very invested in politics do not like Hillary Clinton, and they didn't like what the Lord said about her and the fact that he actually loves her.
I mean, right.
Can you believe that? Not that he loves everything she does, but in this dream, I heard the Lord say these words, I need Hillary in the White House. Now, that was in 2007. And let me be clear that that's not what he's saying right now.
That was in 2007.
In 2007. He did not tell me to vote for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he even showed me a vision of her in the Oval Office
mm-hmm.
with her left hand
right.
in a desk drawer, like the bottom drawer, on a Rolodex. No, it was not
right.
a Rolodex. A Rolex.
Oh, no, you're right. A Rolodex.
A Rolodex is a watch, right?
No, Rolex is the watch.
Oh, it's the other way around. Uh-huh. Okay. Ha! Okay.
You're
on
right.
On a Rolodex of names. And it was contacts. These were people that she knew because of her years in the White House with her husband before. She knew about a lot of the goings-on in the Mideast.
Yes.
And the Lord told me he needed her at that time in the White House because of her understanding of the situation and the contacts that she had. I was actually pretty confused, especially when,
yeah.
I mean, I wrote it all down, but man,
right.
when she did not get the nomination,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, Lord, so what you got? What? Why did you tell me that
mm-hmm.
at all? And then it just was a matter of time when we discovered, and he even brought it to my attention, like, hello, who's in the White House? Well, President Obama's the, and he said, where's Hillary?
In the White House.
She was in the White House.
Secretary of State is
Absolutely.
What happened.
Absolutely. She became Secretary of State, and she was right where the Lord needed her.
Exactly what you're talking about
mm-hmm.
with the Rolex, the contacts, and that would be a person that deals directly with the Mideast. That would
right.
be her job.
Exactly.
And, of course, she's more, everyone knows she's more pro-Israel than Barack Obama, but
definitely.
Anyway, I'm interrupting. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. And I also want to say that I don't agree with, I just need to say this because I've taken a lot of flack for this. This is not an endorsement of any policies. This is not an endorsement of any of her behaviors
mm-hmm.
or decisions and things that she did, in office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people would say, well, what about Benghazi or things
right.
like that? And I would say, yeah, what about that? What
right.
about that, Lord? Because that was, you know.
Right.
Will we ever know?
Right. And I mean,
yeah.
and we just have to do, you know, like you're mentioning, people are so touchy about their politics that we keep having to do just endless.
Right.
You know, covering ourselves or trying to.
Right.
Just.
So we can't do that. We can't just.
Exactly. So get it out of the way up front so you can just talk freely.
Exactly.
Without just,
I'm just going to tell you what the Lord told me. And maybe I should step back a little bit further when the Lord told us in the 1990s, he said, do not allow politics in your ministry. Don't allow politics in the church. And he wouldn't allow us to let people bring in their petitions or anything. And it seemed like, to me, kind of harsh. There were people that were quite offended at us.
Mm-hmm.
But he told me, don't allow it because I need you to be free to minister to people. And it did come a time where I was able to look people there. I mean, because the church had come up, the church world in the body of Christ in America
mm-hmm.
had become so, almost like angrily militant.
Right.
It became very, very much a spirit of Pharisee going on in our country in the name of the Lord. Like now it's okay to hate certain people groups, et cetera,
exactly.
in the name of the Lord because they're a threat to national security or to the family or what about the children and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. And they use that as an excuse to not walk in love and to, basically hate on people in the
right.
name of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And it really did come down to, there were people that became upset with us and left, wherever we happened to be at the time because we wouldn't let them pass their petition around.
Right.
And yet, probably 2 weeks, I remember in one case, like 2 weeks after they were trying to get us to pass a petition around and we said no. I found myself in a position where I was able to look a young man in the eyes and say, I want you to know I have never, ever signed a petition against you. And God loves you and was able to lead him to the Lord and other people like him. And,
right.
Those souls were much more important than that someone else's political agenda.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember that situation. It,
do you,
by
do
being
you,
able to,
mm-hmm.
by leaving politics out of the ministry, what happened is it opened doors
absolutely
to where we were able to just walk right in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was a God thing, and minister to certain groups of people because they knew that we didn't, you know, what they consider hate. I'm using quotes, but we didn't sign petitions. So right. it actually gave influence.
It did.
And then we just walked in, and then you were able to just minister to these people where they would just not let just regular church people, you know, because they considered them haters.
Right. That's true.
As far as they were concerned, church people were haters. They were not open to their message. Totally a shut door. But in your case, it was an open door.
Absolutely.
And there you went.
God gave us favor and influence with people that other churches and other ministries couldn't talk to. Mm-hmm. I know there are people in heaven today that, because they've died, some of them died of AIDS, some of them, I mean, there were people that were dying.
Yeah.
That we were able to minister to, and we were the only ones that could.
Right.
Because we had not taken a stand against them.
Exactly. In that town, in that situation.
Right.
And I might add that it was without compromising the gospel, the word, our moral convictions, or anything else.
That's right.
It was just not flaunting them in a political structure that tried to overpower and control and demean others.
Exactly. Yes, we never compromised on the word.
Never.
And no. They knew how we felt. They knew we believed the word. We preached the word. But they could feel the love of God, and it drew them to us anyway.
Amen.
They didn't consider us haters.
Yeah.
It was really
awesome. So that's just
awesome.
An example of where you're coming from when you're talking about that.
Yes. Because love never fails, and we have to have confidence in God's ability. And that's why the more that people got caught up in politics, it's like people think, oh, the country's going to hell in a handbasket, or we're turning into a third world country, And yeah, I know things are getting pretty tough out there, but they have limited God to politics. Like, this is the only way that God can fix this. And they don't have confidence that their prayers can change anything. And that's what I would like to address today, especially here in a few minutes, Mike. I want to get to your experiences about that will really help people a lot. I just wanted people to know that when the Lord talks to me about these things, it really is God. It's not just, here's a neat feeling, here's a neat thing, you know, and then we move on and take no accountability for it.
No.
We have stories, if you want to call them success stories. When the Lord said something, it actually happened. And when we followed what he told us to do, we were able to reap a harvest of souls that we could not have otherwise. And that is ultimately why we're here. And I know there are people who are called to participate in politics, callings in different people's lives. And I would not presuppose to sit in judgment of anyone for the call of God on their life. Praise God. You got the call to do it. If you've got the favor and the grace, you should do it. And I do want to make it clear that I vote. I'm a voter. I follow these things, but things are not always as they appear. And that's one of the things he told me in that dream. Oh, which one was it? Was it the one in 2007 about Hillary? Let me see. Oh, that's when he told me that he was bringing down and or removing the leaders of the religious right. That was the same dream, same time.
Okay.
And he said, because it had turned into spirit of Pharisee, he said, your battle is to be fought in the spirit. God is neither a Republican nor a Democrat. He is king of the universe. Jesus himself said, my kingdom is not of this world. And we are his ambassadors on this planet. He said in the dream, I wrote it down, he said, hang on to your hats. And that wasn't just a saying. He said, hat meaning authority. Hang on to your authority. Hang on to your hats. Revival is coming, and it is flowing and rising like a river overflowing its banks. No time for politics. Don't fight the battle in the devil's arena. The coming revival will change everything. So that was 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2012, the Lord speaks again. Well, he'd been speaking to me all along, but about politics. We entered another election year.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, talk about giving you a spiritual whiplash. That was quite a year. The Lord started speaking to me, and he spoke in a dream. I know he speaks in a dream. Visions of the night. He knocks me out and talks to me.
Okay.
He told me, government of God, as we were entering the shift in the atmosphere into the prophetic apostolic move on planet Earth and the season that we're in now. He said, government of God. It's time for the government of God to be demonstrated through believers who will stand up in third heaven authority. Now, he was preparing us, but timing is what threw people off, because they thought 2012, that means this year. You know, people don't realize that God speaks about things off in the future.
Right.
And so and the Lord said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. Let it be upon his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Calling his people to please let the government be upon Jesus' shoulders. Look beyond typical party politics. Come up out of the mud. God needs you to see what he sees. This is global. Pray for the government of God, for the U.S. and for the nations. Pray. The kingdom of heaven is invading earth. The kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. He intends to do that through us. Also, that was the same year that I had the dream slash vision slash encounter vision, whatever you call it, download, where he spoke to me about a month before the election, presidential election.
Okay.
About President Obama.
Yeah.
And he told me that he had taken on the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar and was building a golden calf.
Hmm.
And I even heard the gavel drop in the courtroom of heaven.
Uh-huh.
And I heard them say that, the kingdom is removed.
Wow.
And so a lot of people, and there was much more to that dream. He told me what was going to happen with Obama. He told me about his history, his interactions with God over the years.
Uh-huh.
And what was coming up for him. The thing he did not tell me was that he was going to be reelected.
Right. So this is 2012 you're talking about, right before the election.
It was October 11, 2012.
Got it.
And so I shared that with my dear friend Kathy Walters, and I allowed her to put it out on her mailing list, and people, and honestly, I have to admit, I was hoping that it meant he was not going to be reelected, but he was reelected, and I'm like, okay, Lord, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Why the timing on this?
Uh-huh.
And I still don't know that I've gotten a clear answer about that.
Yeah.
But he told me that he needed his people. Maybe it was just like the wake-up call.
Yeah.
He said President Obama had set back the timetable of God for the last day's transfer of wealth and perpetrated a spirit of poverty upon our country. See, now he didn't even answer me. Why did you tell me? He told me this.
Right.
He said, I need my people to rise back up as warriors with a strong spirit of prosperity.
Uh-huh.
That's part of the season that we're in. And that's why we need to understand third heaven authority and know the word of God and understand God's will regarding even poverty and prosperity.
Uh-huh.
America has always been a very prosperous country. We are a giving country.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are nervous that we give too much. And I do believe that there are, a lot of things that need to be fixed and changed as far as who, we need to take care of our vets and things like that. And don't just give the money to possible terrorists instead. But that's just my own personal feeling, and I'm not supposed to be saying that. I'm sorry, Lord. Okay, I'm going to move right along.
Well, wait, so, yes. Did you have another article? You had one more?
I had one more. Right?
Okay, go ahead and do that.
Okay, that was the one about President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So watch and see what happens there. Oh, man, I want to say more about it, but I'm going to just keep this shorter. And in 2015, the Lord spoke to me about the choices that people have to make about the major shift that has occurred in the heavenlies, entering actually right before 2015. And this has to do with politics. In the prophetic apostolic season on planet Earth, it is so important to recognize the form of the Lord. And actually, he told me before, he said, don't pay attention to the media because they're not telling you the truth. Not only that, they don't even know the truth. So they're only telling you either what it appears to them, and half the time they make up, they twist it, whatever. They all have an agenda. So you can't trust the media to get the truth. He said, my people need to know how to recognize the form of the Lord and understand that it's time to walk in destiny. And he was sending great grace and great favor to impact the nations, not only to his people that would walk in this third heaven authority, but to America, which has a destiny. God's not done with America. And he said that our greatest opposition would come through the religious system, and that's pretty much been the case. Our brethren and sistern mm-hmm. in the Lord.
Right.
Religion and would love to turn the lights off in your heart. God's plan is to blow religion out of the water and turn your lights back on. So don't be deceived by these religious spirits inside or outside of the church. They're very bullying. He said, don't shadow box anymore, but as a prophet, call it what it is. And then he said, so I did. Now I wrote this down. Legalism, fault finder, political, self-righteous, and critical spirits, as well as poverty-minded, fear-mongering, controlling and manipulating, and spiritual bullying demons operating through, I'm talking about the spirit-filled body of Christ now, not just what people would think of, you know, as the old-timers.
Right.
It's still, like you said before, religious spirits just upgrade.
Yeah.
With each new move of God.
Yeah, they do.
So people get who are normally very kind and loving turn into really mean people when you start talking about politics. They're driven by fear.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says, and that's what he said here, the bottom line is fear. Jesus loves you, and he is on your side. You are better than this, people. You are better than this. Some of you need to just get up out of the mud. You're called to be third heaven people. He's calling you to come up and to walk with him in heavenly places, to see what he sees so that we can participate in what he's doing. Revival is the answer, not politics.
Right.
And we've discussed that before. Revival changes everything. If you want to call it whatever you want to call it, revival and awakening is preparing to touch down in the United States, because God will keep his word mm-hmm. about America's destiny. And in the book of Daniel, it says that he is the one who raises up kings and brings down kings. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I trust him with that. We've got to trust him.
Yep.
He's not limited to politics.
Right.
And so, on that note...
Oh, yeah, we have a letter...
Yes, someone sent me a letter, and I...
So, go ahead and read that.
After sharing these things with you, which I hope encourage your heart...
Mm-hmm. Just remember that revival starts at the ballot box, everyone. Okay, wait.
That's a bad joke.
Okay, wrong.
I rebuke that.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's pretty funny, though, Brian. okay, so I had shared a few of these things, and someone wrote to me and said, well, that's cool. Oh, yeah, because the Lord told me to become unaffiliated. And we talked about that earlier. So this person wrote to me because they heard me say that, and they go, well, that's cool. He told me to change my nonpartisan to Republican really fast, as every vote counts in this world, and ministering truth and having my voice regarding right and wrong is vital. He told me, most of the body is confused and wants strong leaders to guide them, especially regarding the salvation of our land. Then he reminded about the great King David. He was involved in politics, and that the gates biblically represent the government, the need for godly kings. Anyway, personally, I crave leaders in my church who are not politically correct because of the fire of passion and prayer for America he poured through me for a year. He had me use social media to call those who want to hear into truth. I have had some great conversations. Some researched and found out truths. Personally, very tired of the church being silent, not to offend. Christ was never silent, spoke out against wrong, and loved. And I was...
Right.
Okay, so now, we got a problem here. Your sister, first of all,
Yeah.
Someone doesn't understand or has not been listening to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out here, Mike.
I think that part of the problem there, as I see it, yeah, is that, yes, there's a gross misunderstanding of the fact that I believe that there is a civil responsibility that every believer has to be educated and to understand and to be involved in the political structure of their country, here in the United States, for instance, for us. It is their responsibility to vote. I always tell people to vote and to vote the word, vote their morals, vote their convictions.
Mm-hmm.
But don't push those things on everybody else.
Mm-mm.
And so the God bless her, what a sweetheart, and how that she was trying to share her beliefs, but she didn't realize that she was coming across judgmental.
And manipulative.
And manipulative.
Yes.
There was a religious tone,
uh-huh,
that if you don't vote Republican, you're not a Christian or a good Christian, or you don't know the word. That's hogwash.
And also when I say manipulate, yeah, I agree. And when I say manipulative, is I've heard this before too, people saying, why aren't the pastors speaking out about these things? And I'm thinking, who are you to tell the pastors what their job is? We're called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Every ministry,
right,
has an account. We're accountable to God for what we do, not to the people.
Right.
That's manipulation. We have a heavenly assignment, and the Lord has made it very clear what our assignment is. And when someone does this, they're trying to get us to basically abandon our heavenly assignment and turn our back on it and do what they want, what they think we should be doing.
Oh, sure. That's clearly the motivation behind it.
Oh, absolutely. The thing that makes me sad for her is she truly believes this. And I know that it's the bottom that is driven from a standpoint of fear.
Yes.
Fear is the thing that causes people to be this driven about it.
Mm-hmm. Which is the point of this podcast, what you were saying
mm-hmm.
earlier.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That, like, let's get rid of this fear so that we can actually hear from God and act like the peculiar people that we are called to be in this earth. And we don't fight any other fight in the devil's arena. Why would we participate in this fight
mm-hmm.
over politics?
Yeah, it has to be taken care of in the spirit and in prayer first.
Right.
And then do your moral and civil responsibility in the natural.
Exactly. Everything starts in the heart. Everything starts in the spiritual realm first. It starts in the unseen realm first, through prayer, through the word, from hearing from God, everything from salvation to, I mean, just everything in our lives as believers. And if we're not praying first, if we're not hearing from God first, what we end up doing is becoming very fleshly and fear-driven, and then we have to become manipulative and trying to get people to, you know, try to control other people to believe us and do what we want, because we're getting so exasperated that he can't get... Apparently, we're not very good ministers, Mike, because we're not speaking out about politics.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always thought that my job as a pastor, as an apostle, a prophet, a minister, full-time ministry, was to teach people the word and to teach them how to think, not tell them what to think.
Amen.
I refuse to manipulate people. When people come to our congregation, even verbally sometimes from the pulpit, we have this little exchange where I says, okay, people, let's make an agreement right now. I will not manipulate and control you if you will not manipulate and control me. Do we have a deal? And people love that kind of freedom.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't allow politics in the church. We don't say we're against politics in the sense that, you know, in the natural realm, politics are necessary. You have to have a government. You have to rule a nation.
Right.
We're saying keep that out of the church.
Right.
It won't be allowed in my church. It shouldn't be. And I know there are many pastors that get involved in things, and that's between them and God.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to. And one of the things I think is because in this day of the apostolic church, people don't understand that really one of the principles behind the apostolic church is a wider reach,
yes,
to a wider group of people that crosses cultural,
yep,
lines.
Mm-hmm.
And when I preach, I know there are Republicans out there, there are Democrats out there, there are libertarians, there are those that have no political party affiliation. There are, what?
Yeah.
I'm going to teach them the word.
Right.
I'm going to teach them spiritual authority and how to walk in the kingdom, how to pull down strongholds, how to get into revival, how to save the citizenry of the United States, change the heart of the people. You change the heart of the nation. You change the government of the nation.
Absolutely.
Man, we're going to do it in the spirit. And then take those things and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you on an individual basis, mm-hmm, then, in how you get involved in whatever, in the political structure, or just your vote,
right,
in the land.
Exactly. That's really,
that's
good.
Respect. That's not manipulation.
Exactly. Respect is huge when it comes to these things. And that's where people just, they feel like in politics, they don't have to respect anybody else. They don't have to walk in love towards others. They can just bully. It's spiritual bullying is what it is. Or religious bullying, maybe, is a better way to say it. It's legalism.
It is legalism, because what happens is that any time that we make a law unto ourselves that something has to happen,
mm-hmm,
for us in order to be acceptable to God, beloved by God, blessed by God in any form, then we can't accept other people around us unless they line up with that. Because how can we accept it for ourselves, or how, if we allow other people to do something different?
Right. In other words, how come God will only bless me if I do this, but he'll bless them if they do that?
Correct. And so that's legalism.
Mm-hmm.
And that form of legalism then puts a drivenness, a fear on the inside that you have to get everybody else around you to line up with what you believe in the way that you do it. And if they don't, then one of the main tools that you use is manipulation and control. Even if it's manipulating religiously, or even if it's using the word to browbeat.
Right. Yes. And to me, I really thought it was quite the audacity for someone to come in and tell someone that they don't know. They haven't taken the time to get to know our ministry. I mean, we're called globally, not just to the United States. And so, you know, when I said God is not an American, some of them just became so offended. Like, well,
he's not an American.
He's not, yeah, an American.
He's not a Republican or a Democrat,
no,
either.
I got letters, man, from people about that. Like, really, you guys, what kind of small God do you have? We've been sent to the nations. And right now, every sermon or every message we preach is going out by live streaming, and there are people in other countries that are watching. And what do you think they're thinking if we get up there and start preaching about American politics? And, you know, that's not our job. This,
no,
is global. This is a global thing.
It is. You know, when I was preaching in India, and when I went with our good friend, Dr. Augie David, to India, and that was in the year 2000.
Yeah.
And the election process was going on here in the United States, and so many of those Indians, they'd ask me, they'd say, "We don't understand American politics. Don't you just vote for the Christian?" Because, I mean, you know, there, that was, you either vote for the Hindu, the Muslim, or the Christian, usually the Hindu. And it's like, you know, they would ask me, "Is this political? Is this gentleman running for the president a Christian?" Yeah. And this other one is running for president, is a Christian? Yeah. But they don't believe the same? We don't understand that.
Yeah. They didn't understand the division, so much division in,
right,
in the Christian church here.
And so that's not what it's about. It's the kingdom of God. It is God superimposing his kingdom over the kingdom of man. And that can only happen by taking spiritual authority and, yeah, by praying.
Mm-hmm.
Intercession.
Right. and knowing how.
Yes.
Because if we're not skilled intercessors and understand the art of intercession, people just sort of flounder in their prayer life because they don't know how to pray. And so then they go, prayer turns into asking God to get their man into office. They do the same thing to God that they do to each other. And it's, you know, like, it's sad.
That's it. That's what we call third heaven authority.
So tell me, this is a good place to just, I want to ask you some questions, Mike. Because you've been having these encounters for decades. You have too. But something changed in 2010. Do you want to tell us about that? Is that a good place to start?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think that's the pivotal point in the assignment that we're fulfilling right now for the Lord.
Why don't you share that with us? Share your experience.
I will. I'll hit the highlights.
Oh, yeah. Tell as many details, too, as you can. I love them.
Yeah. Again, the year was 2010. And we were invited to go to another city from the one that we pastored in, where there was an internationally known evangelist that was going to be ministering at that particular point.
Reno. That was in Reno, Nevada.
It was in Reno. And so we decided to go and take some of our leadership with us. And we went early because there was a intercessory prayer meeting the night before the crusade was supposed to start.
Yeah.
And so the crusade or this prayer meeting was in the penthouse suite that the church that was hosting the event was comped because of renting the banquet facilities and so forth, the big meeting room. And it was a wonderful place, top floor. This high-rise hotel, all the windows around to just look out over the whole city and to pray and intercede. The upper room.
It was beautiful.
And it was great. There were many, I don't know, 20, 30 believers that were there, special invites that were praying. And they were doing a good job. They were praying all different kinds of prayer. They were praying in tongues. They were praying in English. They were quoting the word and they're binding enemy, releasing and creating revival and doing a good job according to anybody's standards. And in the middle of that, I went over and I was just praying in the Spirit because I know in 1 Corinthians 14:2 it says, he that speaks in tongues, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And so I was interceding in the Spirit and I sat down on the floor and leaned up against the wall. And as I did, I felt a feeling that I'd grown accustomed to. It happens to me often. But it's like the Holy Spirit grabs me by the shirt collar and just jerks me. And I felt that rising. I just lifted up, and I felt myself go right through the ceiling.
You call that the spirit of lifting, don't you?
The spirit of lifting or anointing of lifting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I call it often. And I went through the ceiling and then through the roof in the hotel. And then I was in the atmosphere up over the hotel and looking around all the lights in the city and everything else. And I kept rising. And as I got a little bit higher, I could see all these little but dull, dim lights. They almost looked dirty. Mm-hmm. These little lights in the atmosphere over the city. And I knew just instinctively that they represented demonic spirits.
Okay.
And remember that when a vision like that comes, it's not literal. The demonic spirits were not little dull lights hanging out over, you know.
Right.
It's the way that he reveals, like Jesus taught in parables. The Spirit uses imagery and he uses things to convey the message to us. But this was my experience, and it was real. And so as I went through those, then I went higher and higher, and I found myself in the throne room of God. There I was standing in heaven, and it was the throne room because I could see the throne, and Jesus was on the throne, and then angels were all around. There were sights and sounds of heaven, and it just was spectacular. I was awestruck. And as I stood there, before the throne, the first thing that I experienced was this feeling of complete absence of shame, condemnation, fear, anything that would minimize or belittle me as a person. And all those things that, or many of those things that we experience here on the earth, all of that was gone, and I felt this confidence and love and acceptance before Jesus. His eyes were just so accepting. And the what went through my mind is this what it feels like to be a new creation in Christ Jesus? Is this what God really intended for me to be able to feel so accepted and valued in Him, to realize that new creation and the power of it? This is who He created me to be. I had never felt that. The total freedom and the power of it was astounding. It just swept over me. And then He told me to turn around, and I turned, and I looked, as it were, down like a balcony, down, and I could see Reno way down below me. And I could see the lights. I could see those dull, dim, dirty, dingy lights, the demonic spirits over. And I could see them in the prayer meeting down below dealing with those. They were doing a good job. See, I'm not trying to minimize. They were praying powerfully. They were praying in faith, but they were dealing from the underside, from the earth side up, with those demonic spirits and influencers. And they were responding to that. There was also some angelic activity. But as I looked down, I saw right up above all of those smaller, dim, dingy lights, I saw this larger one. And
oh, so it looked like the others, but it was bigger. It was just
Much bigger, but it looked like them, and it was still dull and dingy, but lighted. And the Lord spoke to me. For sake of time, impressions and words from the Lord came from behind me because He had told me to turn around. And I was looking down. And the Holy Spirit, the power of it, came through my back. It's just the best way I could explain it at this moment. And He said, launch your warfare from here. And that really, there were many things that went through my mind at that particular point about whether, am I supposed to? But, you know, He's the one who's telling me. I got to obey Him, and this is real. I don't feel any fear about it, but I want this to line up with the Word. And so He just, in an instant, began to answer questions to me about why it was scriptural to do and about spiritual armor, and about the warfare, and about angelic activity in it. And so just in a split second, He answered those things for me in my heart. And so what I felt was this overwhelming sense of authority. It was, launch my warfare from here. You better believe it. I'm going to kick that demon's butt from here to you know where. I mean, it was just, there was no question, filled with the authority of heaven. Behind me, you know?
That sounds like a description of Ephesians, seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and all that. But okay.
Yes.
I just went through my mind while you're talking. So keep going. I don't want to get you off track. I want to hear this.
That's it. And so I opened my mouth, and when I did, I heard these words. The words came through my back from the Holy Spirit, came into me and out of my mouth. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I dislodge your assignment, speaking to the general, to the one that was issuing the commands from up above where the people down below couldn't see. I dislodge your assignment, and I destroy and dismantle the strategies, the structure that you've built, and I break the communication system that you have with those demonic hosts in Jesus' name. There were some other things, but that was the gist of it.
Wow.
And in this process, every time I gave a faith command or I spoke the word of God in it, then one of the angels from the throne room on either side of the Jesus would just shoot like lightning straight down. And then in the middle of my prayer, another one from the left would like lightning shoot down. And then another one from the right, like lightning would shoot down. And they would hearken unto the word to do the bidding of the faith command and the bidding of the word of the Lord, what needed to be accomplished. And they would go down and they would accomplish the spiritual warfare. I gave the faith command by the inspiration of the Spirit in accordance with the word, and the angels backed it up and they did the spiritual warfare.
That's awesome.
Wow. And the Lord began to talk to me about angelic involvement. Now, this is nothing more than a thumbnail that I'm giving you right now for sake of time.
Okay.
And in that encounter, it went on for a long time. He taught me other things, and in other encounters. But basically, he said this. He said, I'm teaching you how to do third heaven warfare using third heaven authority. And I'm giving you the assignment to teach the body of Christ third heaven authority.
Third heaven authority.
How to do it from above.
So that's a little bit different than like just third heaven encounters. Lots of people are having third heaven encounters, but he gave you an assignment to teach about third heaven authority.
Yes. In fact,
that's pretty important to note.
It is. That's a very good distinction, because actually the Lord said, I want you to develop, to write a book, which I'm in the process of. And he also said to develop a conference based on three principles. Third heaven encounters, which was the actual lifting experience, going to third heaven, understanding the ways of the Spirit, the voice of the Lord, the communication system of heaven, how the Holy Spirit does all these things and the purposes and so forth.
And that sometimes we call that navigating the heavenlies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then he said number two is teach them on third heaven realities, and that they're a third heaven creation. As I was standing before the throne and I felt that total peace, love, acceptance, and value in him.
Yes.
And all of the fear and all of the other junk gone, because it couldn't go into the heaven with me.
Yes.
Who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then he said, number three is third heaven authority. That's when I, looking down by inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit, launched that spiritual command and authority, took dominion.
Yes.
And used that authority. So that's the third aspect.
And that seems typical actually of us, because we are warriors. We've always been warriors from the beginning of our ministry.
Yes.
He's put a warrior spirit in us, and sometimes people don't know what to do with us. But, we don't believe in the false humility stuff. I don't know. No, we're warriors.
Yeah. And one of the things that the Lord told me while I was there is he said that we were coming upon the time. Remember, this is 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And it's verifiable at this particular point that he said, we're coming into a time, entering a time, when the veil between the natural and the spiritual is becoming thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's a time in the body of Christ and on the earth, when people are going to be having many more spiritual experiences than they have in the past.
Yes.
And that's true. It's true even in the dark side. You know, in the spirit, there's Satan's kingdom, there's God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so even in the world, in New Ageism, occultism, everything else, they're having a lot of encounters. Yeah. But in the body of Christ and on the good side, as I call it, it's true. You get on the internet, if you don't know people, we have the privilege of knowing a lot of ministers and ministries all around the United States and the world. Right. And we know it's happening to everybody. Man, I know Baptists, I know Nazarenes, I know Pentecostals, I know Assembly of God, I know Word of Faith ministers, I know, prophetic and apostolic ministers that are having these encounters all the time. And people are coming into that. Well, this is what the Lord said. He said, I've called you, as well as many others, to teach third heaven authority. Mm-hmm. Because many have the possibility of getting out there and being led astray.
Yeah.
Teach them authority. Teach them who they are. Teach them the word.
Right.
So they will not be deceived. Because we do not interpret the word of God by any experience. We interpret any experience by the word of God.
That's good. Yeah.
And so I can go through and show. I mean, even in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul said with verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words. And now, Paul was talking about himself.
Yeah.
And so this is the kind of thing. And it wasn't just a one-time occurrence that God only did for Paul.
Right.
It's something for the body of Christ. It's something we're entering that day when these kind of experiences are happening. So,
wow.
People need to know the word. They need to understand third heaven authority and how it works, not only in the heavenlies, but how it translates and how it moves down into our everyday natural lives.
Yes. Oh, that's good. That's a good word. And, you know, I was going to ask you about, to put it in perspective, how much more powerful prayer really is when people understand these kinds of things. You had a vision, and I know you've had so many, but, you know, I think you even shared in a recent podcast, but do you mind sharing again about when you encountered Michael and he showed you the revival hanging over the U.S.
Oh, wonderful.
I think it would encourage people's hearts.
And I think in line with this whole episode, tonight, it's very important maybe to share.
Yeah.
Yes, about 3 years after that encounter I just shared, whether you want to call it an encounter, vision,
whether in the body or out of the body.
Right. Paul didn't know, and I don't know, but it happened.
Uh-huh.
And it was June of 2013. You and I, CK, were on sabbatical. And we lived in Oregon, pastored in Oregon, ministry headquarters there. We came down because we had a timeshare in Las Vegas. And the Lord had been leading us here over the years, off and on, and building a relationship with Las Vegas that we didn't even recognize until this happened in June of 2013. We were in that timeshare, and we were going to stay a week. We ended up staying for six.
Six weeks.
We were on sabbatical. Yeah. Long story to that. But so we were on the 23rd floor, the top of that building, and it was facing the living room in the condo, and then the big picture window was facing east. And so this was in south. It was facing South Las Vegas, Henderson area.
Yeah. And we didn't even know that's what it was.
No, we didn't. We didn't know.
We didn't know this.
It took us a while to figure out what direction and where everything was at.
Yeah.
But I would get up every day and I would spend a couple hours in that living room praying, walking around, but visually also looking out and praying over that area. Well, the Lord knows what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
He had me and you, because you had a lot of experiences there too, CK.
Oh, boy.
And so I prayed every day, interceded over the area that we ended up moving to. We now live and have our services and our office and headquarters right smack in the middle of where I looked out that picture window.
Exactly. Isn't that something?
Praise God.
We sat there and looked at our where we were going to be for 6 weeks, saying, oh, Lord, what's your will? Where do you want us to go?
Right.
And we were looking at it the whole time.
The whole time. Didn't know it. Yeah. Well, one of those days,
yeah,
I was praying, and I had one of those experiences. I was caught up instantly. The Holy Spirit, that lifting anointing hit me again, carried me up into the heavenlies, the spiritual realm, and I was there with Michael the war angel.
Ooh, yeah.
And I'd only met him once previous to that, which was several years, or anyhow, sometime before. And he showed me in the spiritual realm up above America this big rolling mass of rainbow colors, swirling mass of all these colors of the rainbow. It wasn't in a form of a rainbow. They were just swirling. And it was lowering down over the United States. And I knew, I could tell instinctively, you know, by the spirit within me, that it was revival. And I said that to Michael. I said, this is revival and spiritual awakening. And he said, yes. And then, just like lightning, the scriptures started rolling through my mind. Ezekiel 1, in Revelation, places where it talks about the throne of God. And everywhere that the throne of God was, it had the rainbow.
Yeah.
Those rainbow colors and the rainbow over the throne, symbolizing the government of God, symbolizing redemption. I knew that redemption was, and covenant with God was symbolized by rainbow throughout Scripture.
That's true.
And so the government of God, the will of God, the redemption of God, the covenant of God, all of the components of the revival of God and quickening of God was lowering down. It was a major move of the Spirit for revival in America.
Mm.
But as it was lowering, there were strongholds built up by the enemy to try to stop it. And to keep it from lowering down. And so they were opposing, the demonic spirits were opposing that from reaching America. And then angels would come, warrior angels, and begin to fight against and dismantle some of those strongholds, and they'd be removed.
Okay.
And I was watching all of this with Michael standing beside me. And when they were moved, it was still lowering. It's not that, you know, they could stop God, but they can slow down things. They have an effect, a big effect.
The opposing spirits.
The opposing spirits.
Yeah.
And others then would come and start reconstructing those strongholds, those oppositions, forts of opposition, so to speak. And I said to Michael, no, wait a minute. You're more powerful than the enemy. So when you tear down a stronghold, when you defeat the enemy, how come it doesn't just stay that way? Where do they get the ability to build new ones or come back? Because, you know, I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah.
God's bigger than the devil.
Right.
Going to stomp him like a bug when his time comes.
Uh-huh.
And but where'd this come from? And Michael said something that astounded me. He said, because of the mouths of men. And then he said, the heart and the mouths of men, believers and unbelievers, empower the demonic forces to resist the will of God.
Oh, whoa.
And when he said, believers even, I understood right there. He began to talk to me about how that even believers begin to badmouth their country.
Mm-hmm.
People get upset, this whole idea about politics and so forth. And you know, people would say, America is ripe for judgment. God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't destroy America. I'm talking about believers using their mouths to empower the destruction of not only America, but the hindering of God's purpose and plan for this nation and what he was bringing here.
Yes. Oh,
I just can't believe that kind of stuff.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. And the number of those kind of things, on and on and on, the hate and the visceral, you know, feelings of believers and people and all that stuff. But then Michael said something to me. He said, I need an army of intercessors who, with faith and prayer and the creative ability of their mouth, will empower us, talking about him and the warrior angels, the angelic host, will empower us the same way to defeat those.
Wow.
And to bring the will of God to America.
And bring that revival.
And to bring that revival.
Yes. Wow.
Wow. That's why, through this whole podcast, this episode, we've been talking about the creative and constructive side of the spiritual realm and the destructive side of the spiritual realm. And what people do, they don't...
Yeah. If they're too busy in politics... In the party politics and pushing of agendas, fleshly agendas, they're actually part of the opposing of the revival. And I have been amazed at the number of people that really don't either. They don't believe revival is coming. They don't believe America deserves revival, as if anybody ever deserved, you know, anything they got from God. Or they just don't believe that's going to happen. They think it's too late for America, whatever, because they have listened to that kind of talk for so long. And
that's right.
What drives this, that whole, attitude about politics, you know, like trying to kick everybody's butt down to get back in the mud in the devil's arena to fight this fight. That's not
it
way
can't be one
it.
There. It's got to be one in the spirit,
exactly.
So it'll manifest in the natural. That's third heaven authority.
Third heaven authority. They've got to believe in authority in the first place.
Yes.
To even be able to grasp what God wants to do, if they were to use that same, you know, passion in prayer, this kind of prayer, it would just change everything like overnight, practically.
I mean,
it would certainly help, and bring people together, because the key in all of it is walking in love. And
yes,
boy,
well
talk
said.
About getting out of love.
And learning how to intercede.
Yeah.
I mean, all prayer, every form of prayer is important, and people who are baby Christians need to know that. I shouldn't have said baby. They're new Christians and really haven't learned a lot. They need to know how powerful their prayer is and how that it moves heaven and earth, man. But we need to be more skilled and learn how to do it effectively. And that's part of our job, CK.
It is. That's what we're called to do. That's the truth we're called to declare.
Yes.
And that there definitely is revival coming to America or without the right political person. And I mean,
right.
Whatever people think is the right political person in office. Mm-hmm. God knows what he's doing. I trust that he knows what he's doing, that we have to give him more credit for that.
Right.
Than we do.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because you know what? I'm registered with a political party. Doesn't matter which one. I'm going to vote.
Yeah.
People ask me sometimes, who are you going to vote for? I'm not going to tell you. Because I understand the power of influence that can be used and exerted the wrong way.
Yes.
And whether I tell people or not, here's my point, is that I'm going to engage in it, but I have a higher calling. I have something more important. And that is that I know Michael up there, he showed me 10 cities in America.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Las Vegas. He said, we're called as a spiritual network of intercessors to train up the effective force that would bring the revival and would thwart the enemy's plans.
Wow.
And then he said this to me. He said, what you're called to do, you can do from anywhere because of the spiritual undertaking and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but the Lord would rather you did it from here.
And that's
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
That's why we went home, packed up everything. It took us months to do it and moved here.
Right.
God wants Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a place of intercession on a national level.
It is.
And we're going to train as many intercessors, third heaven warriors as we can, man.
Absolutely.
That's why we tell people you're a third heaven creation operating in third heaven realities functioning in third heaven authority. Let's get the job done. Let's do it in the spirit. Let's change the world from the spirit into the natural.
Yes. Yes, amen. Because God's getting ready to, absolutely unleash a vast army of believers, prayer warriors, that are just going to take this country by storm. And it doesn't matter. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but honestly, when it's all said and done, it really doesn't matter who wins the election. Because when revival hits, when this army is unleashed on the country, it changes everything.
Exactly.
It changes everything.
That's right.
We got to see it from God's viewpoint.
Yeah. You change the heart of the people. You change the heart of the nation. You change the leadership of the nation.
Yes. And you change the world.
That's what revival does. You change the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I want my political candidate, the one I end up voting for, to win.
Mm-hmm.
However, what's more important to me is that I do my job in the spirit.
Right.
Leading up to the election so that my vote counts. If I haven't done that, then my vote is nothing more than a physical action on a piece of paper in a voting booth.
Wow. Now that's a word right there. Everything we do has to be with the anointing.
That's right.
And people don't realize that. And I know that's a subject for another, a completely other new other podcast, but I just wanted to get that in. Anointings are like, that's the bottom line. There are so many anointings that God has given us and to be used so that we have supernatural ability to do whatever it is that we're doing. And if we're not catching an anointing and going with that, then we're just, beating our head against the wall in the flesh. It's, and then helping, encourage other people to beat their head against the wall too. it just doesn't work that way. And in this season, we just don't have the luxury of that anymore. It's time for major harvest. There's a harvest.
Yes.
And we're going after it, man. We haven't been in this for almost four decades to just, say, well, maybe it's not going to happen. Are you kidding me? We had an Abrahamic calling and here we are. Mm-hmm. We've been this, man. We put our hand to the plow back in the mid-70s, and we've never looked back because we know we're threshing in hope, man. Mm-hmm. We know that we know that we know that we know that there's such a major move of God happening that's coming to planet Earth, not just the United States. It is global.
Yes.
This has to happen before judgment and Armageddon and all those other things.
That's right.
There's major revival happening first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming. And people need to get their eyes off of, judgment and Armageddon and all that. And get your eyes on what God is trying to do. Because he will do it with you or without you. It's a whole lot more fun to be part of it. And I do think that believers need to develop a sense of humor.
Because, amen.
Because, man, for one thing, half of what I say is funny. It's supposed to be funny, even if it's true. I mean, you know, it really does disarm people's defenses. That's what I do. Everything is just funny.
Yes.
But the Lord is that way. I mean, he has a much better sense of humor than people realize. And they need to just lighten up. Lighten up, guys.
Lighten up. Oh, I might mention one thing, too, here.
Yeah.
In finishing that. The revival has already hit. It's already touched down.
Yes. It has.
It's just that the major impact of it will take several years to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's already begun. It's begun. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Mike, for being our guest today. That was awesome and so encouraging because, man, our future's bright. Everybody under the sound of my voice, man, your future is bright. Hang on to Jesus. Look to those things that are unseen. As the word says, you know, the things that you can see right now around you are just temporary. The circumstances and everything are just temporary. They are subject to change by the things that are not seen, by the unseen realm. And we have what the Lord is having us do is we're basically busting through the barrier and bringing things from the unseen realm into the seen realm. It's called faith, to reach through into eternity and lay hold of those things that God has laid up for this generation and appropriate it now into the here and now and walk in it now. And it's called destiny. Destiny, and it's in your DNA. Every person has destiny in their DNA, and now is your time. And man, do not let earthly politics of any country hold you back from pursuing Jesus and your destiny with all of your heart. I mean, your future is so bright, you're going to have to wear shades, man. God bless you, and I thank you for listening. Thank you to the Streams of Many Waters podcast network. We really love you guys. We bless you.
All right. Are we good? Okay. And so thanks for listening. And for Mike Thompson, CK Thompson, I'm Brian David Thompson. And I want to thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach CK Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.